You seem like you mean it. Oh, you seem like you want it. Amen. Don't worry, you will have a hangover in the morning. And just like Brother Doug said, you won't have to worry what you said in the morning to someone else. Everything will be fine. Amen. Thank you for coming back. Thank you, musicians. Appreciate you guys making all that effort. Thing is, you have to play. You cannot enjoy like we enjoy. We enjoy their play. And that's their satisfaction anyway. Making sure that you will worship the Lord. Okay, let's continue this morning topic. If you wasn't here this morning, so you just had to pick up pieces, bits and pieces here and there, okay? But let us have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity, Father, we have to assemble together tonight. Thank you for your presence, because that is what we love, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for your care and your loving kindness. Thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness, Father. We just so in love with you tonight, Father. Help us to grow, Father. Condition us with your word. Help us to change, Father. Father, we want your desire. Whatever is your desire, that's what we want. We want to delight you, Father. And that is the delight of our hearts. And you will give us, Father, what we want, Father, if we delight ourselves in your word. Father, tonight, be with our pastor, be with Brother Andy and those that are out. Father, keep him safe, Father. Yes. Protect him from every evil, Father. And bring him home safe, Father. May they have a good time, Father. Have fun. And Father, make sure that you remind them to come back. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That's what I tell people. I go on vacation and they tell me, remember to come back. Amen. I haven't gone no place else that I like to stay. I always got to come home. Because that's the best place to be. Home, right? I haven't heard, I haven't seen anything better than I get here. I'm not saying that, you know, some other have the same opinion. But my opinion is that one too. That always return home. So, you can be seated. This morning we started talking about Matthew chapter 6, and specifically wanted to talk about verse 12, 14, and 15, because that's where the scope of my preaching is, right? I mean, but like I said, you can take the whole chapter, and it has a prophetic, you know, view. Also, like I told you, Jesus want to teach them how to pray, but first he says, no show. And he addresses all the things that people like to come to church. He said, none of that stuff matters. No more entertainment. No more performance. Let's get down to business, you know? Amen. And he said, here, just this little prayer. You don't have to repetition. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to be in public. Also, everybody can see you. Just get to your secret place, and I will reward you. Openly. Amen. So finally he's saying, you know, this thing of performance and theaters and act, and it's over. We have to get down to business with God. Amen. So we also talked about verse 12. The Bible says, forgive us our debts and we forgive our debtors. I don't know if I had a meme, but that's okay. I will read it. For if you forgive men, verse 14, their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So when I said, you know, you have to do your part, and then God will do his part. There's always condition. Promises is always has condition. So that is why he's saying, if you want me to forgive you, you have to be able to forgive just as well. But if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Period. So, we went through some explanation of what a trespass is. It is a little bit more, you know, clarity on what sin. Sin is kind of general, unbelief is what sin is. But we're trying to expand on that, you know. And trespasses is overstepping your boundaries. God had laid boundaries for all of us. The word is our boundaries. And to step, you know, stepping that out of that boundary, then we are trespassing. You know, like the illegal. It's a sign, it says no trespassing. And the word tells you, don't trespass. Don't cross that line. You know, kids, stay away from the internet and the foreigners and all that stuff. You know, that's a line. You know, and another line is girls, you know, wear your skirt and, you know, no makeup and don't cut your hair. I mean, it's not that we have regulations, you know, it's just that God, His word, that's His word. And He traces a line, you know, about dating and about marriage and about adultery. I mean, this line around us. And God don't want us to trespass. And the reason He's doing that is to protect us. Like families at home, we have all kind of rules for the kids. You know, don't do this, don't do that. Don't. But it is not because we don't want them to have fun. It's because we don't want them to get hurt. You know, because we know, we've been there, we've done that. Now we learn. But they don't have to learn that way. You know, like I did. My father told me that one time. He says to me, don't do that, don't do this, because I already experienced that and this and that. And I said, but I don't want to live your experience. I want to have my own experience. Oh, how dumb I was. I regret it to go through all the things that I didn't have to go. Because they already did it, and they know. But we think we're smarter. Oh, I'm smarter than you, and you're just an old-fashioned guy. See, we think we know it all. We don't know anything. So we don't want to trespass. We don't want to, you know. Also, not only the law, or I mean the word, but also offenses. And offenses are hindrance. You know, we become a stopping block for the things we do. Like Paul said, you know, if you go and they invite you to eat at a home and they give you meat that has been offered to idols, you know, don't be a hindrance. If they don't tell you, eat it. Even if you know, I have an idea. Says don't start judging. You know where this meat come from? I hope it wasn't offered to idols and now it's in the market. No, he said, if they don't tell you, just eat it. Don't make them feel bad, because you can be stumbling block. Because later on you invite them to the church and they don't want to come. Why? Because they're offended that invite you to eat and you didn't want to eat. Now, if they serve you something, oh, before they serve you, they said, you know, this meat, you know, came from so-and-so, or this, you know, food that we prepare has a little bit of wine and rum and burgundy, whatever. Some people cook with all this kind of stuff. In fact, I know some people barbecue with beer. They said it tastes good. I don't use beer to marinate, but, you know. But if you don't know that and nobody tells you, eat it. You're not drinking beer, actually. You lost all the, you know, alcohol and everything in the heat. But what I'm saying is, if they don't tell you, do it. But if they tell you, then you have a choice. Because they're telling you. And you can decide, well, I will eat this or I will not eat that. But that's what an offense is. You can be a hindrance or cause them to fall or stumble just for cause our action towards them. So don't do that. And then we talked about transgressions. Transgression is basically breaking the law. That's it, willingly. I'm not going to do that. God said to do that, but I'm not doing it. Or just go ahead and do whatever you want. That's transgression. You are overstepping over the limit of the law. You know, hey, every time you go more than 75 or 55 in the road, you know what you're doing? You're overstepping. You might don't think that's nothing. But see, that is the problem. It's the little things that's going to keep us from going somewhere. It's not the big things. Brother Brown said, take care of the what? Or the little things. What happened with the 55, 75, and you want to go 80 and 90, but everybody's going, I'm going with the traffic. That's my excuse with my wife. She leans and she looks at the mirror and I said, get to your seat. What are you going over? I said, I'm just going with the traffic. I don't want to be a hindrance to the traffic. I'm just going with the flow. And that's my excuse. Sorry. But I'm overstepping the law. When they stop me, I don't have an excuse. You think he's going to buy that thing? I'm just going with the flow. But anyway, we don't want to be a hindrance. We don't want to transgress. So the problem is that if we cannot be faithful in the little, how can we be faithful in the big? Because the little thing is what show you how to deal with the big ones. He says, do the little things that I make sure you get the big ones. But if we break the little ones, but that's what you have to practice on those little ones. They are easy to do. I mean, if you cannot do that one, that is easy. How can you do something bigger? You know? So maybe this don't make sense to you. Maybe you think these are little things, but that's why we have problems in the little things. You know? Faults, errors, mistakes, shortcomings. See, we don't sin, we do mistakes. We do wrong choices. And we all do that every day. I make errors every day. But the brother said he did too. So a fault is an error. It could be an error in doctrine. Now that's a little bit more, you know, costly. You know, and there's a lot of people that's how they miss, you know, the real doctrines, and they have their own doctrines because they're in error, the Bible says. But I'm talking mainly here about errors, you know, everyday errors, that we do mistakes, you know, shortcomings. We all have shortcomings. So, and sometimes we don't know it, but sometimes we annoy other people with our faults and shortcomings and doing the same thing every day. So, all I'm saying is you have to be aware. If we don't start practicing the little things, you will not get the big ones. Jesus says, because you was faithful in what? In the big things? No. Because you was faithful in the small thing. Now you can come in because you can be good in the big ones. So don't make it such a big thing you gotta do and I better be this. And start with the things that happen every day to you. Check your attitude when all these little things start happening. Then you start being conditioned for the big things, you know? Because if he helped me in these little ones, I know this is going to be okay. And the last one is sin. And sin, we know that's unbelief. And that's what chapter 6 and 12, 14 and 15 says. So, and I wanted to kind of go further and explain a little bit more because sometimes we don't understand. Well, I don't commit any sins. The Bible said I don't commit sins. Well, you don't commit sin, but a little white lie still is against the word of God. Is disobedient. Or, you know, cutting your hair, dance on your hair, you might think, but that's not so bad. God will understand. Let me tell you something. God will not change the word for nobody. If that's what he says, that's what he not tailoring things for, customizing things for all of you or for me. If that's what he says, I don't care how silly it looks, we need to do it. Okay? And it don't matter what silly people make you feel, you know, the way you dress, the way you look. You don't want to even try to, you know, that's what happened to many young people in school, like I told you this morning. You know, the pressure and the, you know, the peer pressure and this and that and the groups, you know, you want to be accepted, you know. Because in the way we look, you know, they don't want to have nothing to do with us. Because, you know, we look, you know, look at this. You are not fashion. Why do you dress like that? I mean, look at your hair and blah, 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 blah. So we feel like, you know, we want to belong. And I understand that. I went through that too. And we all have. But the thing is, you have to make a decision. But sometimes we go as far as we go without falling, getting close to the edge. Just to satisfy somebody else. The only one that you need to satisfy is God. Because if we do man, that's all you're going to get, the glory of man. And they're going to say, oh, how nice. But that's all you're going to get. That's your reward. But I want another reward. They promised me, the Bible promised me a bigger reward, everlasting life. I'm not going to trade that for a little bit of fun over here that don't last and don't get you anywhere. So anyway, so tonight I want to read you from the message. I give you an example this morning. So now I like to read you what Brother Brown said because the main thing about all this is that the Bible said, love your brother, love your enemy, you know, love those that persecute you, and love all, and that's what we need to get to. Because if we cannot love our brother that sins against us, you know, for 479 times, If we cannot forget those that take advantage of us, if we cannot forget those that speak manners, you know, false about us, if we cannot do that much, then what happened is we are not a material, Christian material. Because Jesus did that. He loved. He had no exception of people. He loved everybody the same. Even when the disciple, one of the disciples, Jude, was, you know, turned him in. Do you not think he knew that? I mean, he knew the secret of everybody's heart. Unless God decided to keep that in secret until the time. I don't think so. I think he knew. He knew everybody that he came in contact. Because he was conditioned, you know, to love everybody, regardless, you know, of prejudice or discrimination or color, whatever. So if we do not respect people, he said, God has respect to everybody. The only thing that God honors is his word, his faith. And we start making decisions based on color. Oh, we wanted to be prejudiced, and this clique, and that clique, and that other clique. That's not respect. That's a sin, according to the Bible. See? So we have to be careful, because these little things that sometimes if they just go over, we don't even entertain, and we don't even think about it. We think we're okay until somebody like me come and tell you, you're not okay. In fact, you think you was right all these years, but I'm going to tell you, you're not that good. And we are not that good. Amen. The little things. Let's look at the little things. This year coming, let's start looking at how we act, how we respond. Like I told you this morning when I went to JCPenney, how you respond to those? How do you respond to those that slash, you know, those that say things about you? Because that's the only thing you have control of, your response. Right. So how do you respond? Then you can see if you are being, you know, your quality of, you know, like Jesus Christ. See? Jesus knew they were wrong, but he didn't judge them. See? He was there to meet every need. So, let me give you this other example here that Brother Branham gave us. The one that I gave you this morning, it was talking about someone that owed debt to someone, to a king, or they have an account, they had a contract, and he didn't pay, and he embezzled the money is what he did. He probably took the money, and instead of doing what he's supposed to do, he used it, abused it, and now the governor or the king, he wants his money back. Where's my money that you borrowed? Well, he used it, and doing bad investments. So at the end, he begged for his life, and he just come to the point that he said, have mercy on me, and because he said, I'm going to throw you and your family and your children and until you can pay me, and I'll put you in jail. Well, that kind of woke him up. We don't want to go that far. You know, because if we are filled with the Holy Ghost, we are good Christian, and if we don't redeem our brothers, and we don't get out of that situation, sooner or later, God will put you in a situation that you're going to have to do it. You know, and we don't want to go that far. If we are children of God, we don't want to go that far. You don't want the wrath of God to be any one of us. We want to do what's right and do it speedily, quickly, and put it behind and continue moving forward. So Jesus told Peter. Peter said, how many times I need to forget my brother's sin? Well, he asked about the sin, but Jesus gave him an illustration using this guy, owed money to this guy, he couldn't pay. He's going to throw him in jail. Then he said, okay, I will forgive you. I will have mercy. I will have compassion because you asked me. So go on there. Then he went on down the line and went look for his investors and asked them to pay. And it shocked him even. He said, pay me. But he wanted the money because now the money wasn't going to go to the guy that forgave him. He wanted to keep that money. See, still wrong. The guy is still wrong. He don't learn. And that's the thing about it. If we go to this thing and we don't learn, then we continue doing the same thing. Something has to change. Like Brother Bass, that Brother Doug said. Something has to change. We need to learn. We need to be conditioned so we can move forward. Brother Branham said, what hear thou, Elijah? I'm going to do a lot of reading to this tonight, but just bear with me. I'm not the best reader in town, but here we go. You got this 59:06-09? Okay, let's read with me. I was condemned. Oh, my God. I'm glad that this guy, you know, tell about himself. I was condemned, standing in the pulpit. That's your prophet. I am going to confess. Wow, if he went that far and he was asked that high, why can't we do it? We are not even that high, you know? I'm going to confess it right here because I'm already being forgiven. He already made, you know, things right. So that's why he's confessing now or testifying about what happened so we can learn. I was eating my dinner and the phone ring, and it was a private number. And we have an answering service, and the phone rang, and I wondered it may be somebody that knew me. And wife went, and she put her hands over the phone, and she says, it's the government people, you know, again. They were looking after him for some money that supposed to owe taxes. He says, oh, my head felt like I was, you know, coming out of the tub. It was going to explode, see, because he's been dealing with this situation. I was so nervous and upset. And I had to go dig up this and dig up that. And then the frustrated around like this. And I go get to church and get these deacons to do this and the trustee to do that. And I was so worried. See, that's when the devil gets you. See, he takes advantage of these situations. You know what I done? I said, tell me, I am not in here right now. Tell them that I'm not in here right now. And I run out to the house and went around behind the house, see? He told me to tell them I'm not here right now. When I came back in, my wife looked at me and she's a darling. She said, Billy, was that just exactly right? So now she's feeling condemnation. He's the one doing it, but now she's feeling what? Because she made her lie. And that's what happened. You know, one lie creates another lie. But that's bad when you have to make your wife lie. Like Abraham. We're not going to go there, but, you know. And I run out of the house and I went around behind the house. Then I came back. She said, Billy, well, that's just exactly right. I said, well, sure it was. Well, let's see how bad it is. Now he's justifying what he done. Of course. And that's what I'm talking this morning. You know, we can transgress. We can do things against people. And we just like, everything is okay. We come to church. We sit down. We worship with the same people that we transgress. Sometimes we even offend. But I'm okay. No, you're not okay. He says, I'm okay. So he justified his action because he was, you know, frustrated, headache, and he's just tired and worried with this thing. But that's not a reason to do anything. Actually, she said, you see, sometimes you act like it is the truth when it's still a lie. So you justify that what you did was right, and you convince, that's the worst lie, when you convince yourself that you're okay. See, until you come to church and you find out that the Spirit said that's not okay. See, so when you go through the things, the little things you go through life, don't try to convince yourself that you was right to do what you did. You know it's not right, but we like to convince ourselves that way. So we don't have to, what? Be accountable for nothing else. You are something, you act like it's the truth when it's still a lie. God don't want us to, what? Lie. Well, that's trespassing the law. You just went over, you know. You crossed the line. Because that's one of the borders we have. Do not lie, the Bible said. You see, it said, God don't want us to lie or tell little white lies or dodge around the corner like he did, you know. I'm not here. But he was right. He wasn't there. I thought about it all afternoon. I'm glad he had a conscience. And you have one too. And I have one. So I cannot believe that we can do something and the conscience will bother us. When that happens, that's what condemnation is. If you are a son or daughter of God, the Holy Spirit will not leave you alone. In fact, you have to override the Holy Spirit to justify what we're doing. And you know, as you're doing that, it's not right, because you have to override the Holy Ghost that is telling you it's not right. It's not right. I don't care how big the problem or how small. It doesn't matter. We're talking about the small things. Sometimes it's so small that you think they don't matter. But it don't matter to you, but what about the person that saw you? What about the person that we offended? What about the person? This is not about you. This is about him. He says, everything got to be right out and overboard. The command that condemned me. See? So, if you have the Holy Ghost, you ain't got no excuse. You do something wrong. I don't care how big or small. You're going to hear. Yeah. But God is not a person that is going to pressure you. He's not going to push you. He's not going to make you. You know what happens if we don't make it right? The Holy Ghost takes a little fly. And once he takes a little fly, anything can go. But we don't want to do that. We don't want to constrain the Holy Spirit. We don't want to go that far, because God will not deal with man, you know, the rest of his life. It will be a point that, you know, he will back up. But if you're son or daughter of God, God will bring you somehow. But I don't want to be pulled that way. I thought about it that afternoon. I said, what did he do? I started to do what? To pray for somebody. And I could not pray for them. He went to pray for this little girl, and he got condemned. So every time we do something and we try to do something, God is not there. The Holy Spirit is not there until we make that thing right. Listen, just a minute. If your heart condemns us, not, but if there is something in your life that condemns you, would do better make the thing right. It's okay? No matter how small it is. I don't care what in the world. You just cannot operate that way, right? That way, you cannot operate. Not in church, not at home, not at work, not at school. We cannot operate that way. Not because people think you are Christian, it's because you said you are Christian. And you are full of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is the kicker here. If you don't have a Holy Ghost, you don't feel condemned. So, if all of you in this church have the Holy Ghost, you know what I'm talking about. Because the alternative is that you don't have the Holy Ghost and you don't feel condemnation, you continue doing it. And I don't want to be in there neither. Either way, it's worse. I mean, it gets worse. Because we believe that we have the Holy Ghost and nothing condemns us, so we go and do things. Okay? It says, you cannot operate that right that way. The Holy Spirit cannot deal with you. Period. Simple. Just a little white lie. He said, I'm not here. That wasn't something big. You know, I did not commit a crime or stab somebody or kill somebody or committed adultery. Just a small lie. That's all it took. And that's what I'm saying. If we want to do better next year, we need to be conditioned, because there are greater things that are coming. But until we take care of the little things and start being conditioned, so we can take care of the big ones, God will make sure that we take care of that one. God is so good, because he said, I take out the big one, but I'm going to let you take out the little ones. Because if you cannot take out the little ones, I will not take out the big ones. And that's all it is. If you don't do your part, I cannot do my part. So you might get some intellectual emotions, you know, when we come to church. You know, you might, I feel so good. I feel so scrubbed, you know. And you're having some kind of a act with somebody else. You have offended. But it's all intellectual. See, it's all a show. It's all a performance. And I don't come over here to put a show for nobody. You know? I want to be real. I don't want to be show up. I want to be the real thing, you know. I know. Guess I'm quiet, because I know this is not a hallelujah, glory to God messages. I told you this morning. But I want you to, at least I got you thinking. When I started to pray for the sick baby, I went to lay my hands on it, and the Holy Spirit said, what about you wasn't in your house? You think God forget things? You do. He don't forget. And then in the right time, he's going to bring it to your mind again. I don't care, like I said, how small it is. What about? Said, you see, if there's a vibration, there's something by laying on of hands. If you are not right with God and there's some condemnation there, you just know, and you, in your own heart, God not going to answer you. Remember, this is started with prayer. If you don't forgive, if you don't do this part, I will not do this part either. But he says, if you have the Holy Ghost, if you're a Christian, something, a little vibration, a little something, but something, you know something is telling you. You cannot override that little voice, you know, in your heart, or that little sensation, or that little nervousness when you're doing something, because you know you're not right. That's happened to me. I start doing something, I start getting nervous. Why? Something is telling me. You know, you're approaching danger, danger, and he's trying to protect me. But if you override that little voice, that little vibration, that little whatever happens to you, you know what happens to you when you do, then he says, God not going to answer you. Now, that's the truth, my brothers, see? We come to church, and why do we have so many people sick? We should not be. We believe the powerful word of God. We should have, every time we come, we should see healings. We should see, you know, people living different than they went out. Why are they going back the same way? And not to be only lying. Our attitude, you know, towards somebody else. Our attitude to the music. Our attitude to the past. Whatever. Any little thing. Not to be a big one. It's a way, you know, we approach things. Either we approach it the way God wants us to approach it, or no, we don't approach it at all because it's not going to work. Now that is the truth, my brother. Well, I was so condemned, I didn't want no more of it. Well, this is what I wonder, see? When you get sick to being sick, you know, you might do something, but I know there are some people that don't want to do anything. And now I don't know what's the reason. That had they gone too far? Had they, you know, God has sealed their minds? You know, I don't want to think about that because I don't think none of us, we all Christians are full of the Holy Ghost. So at some point, we're going to have to make it right. We will not be able to move forward because there won't be no answers. You might think it's the answer. You come to church and you can praise and you can glory to God and everything, but the change is what we're looking when you come down. See, the answers. I didn't want no more of it. I just closed the door and went up to my cave. All of you know I have a cave, and I stayed there in the cave. I pray. I cry. I say, God, there's sick people come. I am sorry I said that. Not only did I lie, but I caused my wife to lie. She said that I wasn't in there. She wouldn't have said it for nothing if I hadn't told her to do it. And I was frustrated. We don't need these things about anything. God is with us. Who can be against us? You don't have anything to point into the dark, anything to be shady. Stand out and be truthful with yourself, with others, and mainly with your brothers and sisters. I'm better than that. Those that they don't know who you are, you need to be truthful. Well, they don't know who I am anyway. They don't know I'm a Christian. Well, with more reason, you need to act like one so they know what a Christian is like. Amen. If a member, now let's bring it to us here. He already confessed about himself. If a member makes a mistake, don't turn him down. Now, we're talking about the other side of the coin, okay? Somebody did something to you. Help them. Now, this is the other side of the coin. It's not you that did the doing. It was somebody did the doing to you. Raise him up. Get together. Have a hearing with one another. So if there are people here that are upset because somebody did something else that wasn't right, you need to help him. He don't say to go and mouth and tell everybody what they did to you. He said, cover that up. Don't have to express sins and everything, because people say, oh, see, I told you that church, I don't know why you're going to that church. All that stuff is happening there. We don't do that. You cover, and then you go to that brother that offended you, and you tell him, you know, I want to help you. Maybe you don't understand what you did. Maybe you don't understand what happened, what transpired, what you did, the action, you know. But I love you so much. See, that's where love comes in. I love you so much that I want you to be right. I love you so much that I want you to be right, that I'm going to forgive you so you don't have to pay for it. Because I don't want to see you in hell. I don't want to go to hell. Why would you want to see somebody else? So now he's saying, you need to talk to that person. Not about, you know, getting on him for not giving you or doing what he's supposed to do. I promise I will pay you, but now he don't pay you. You know, or some other thing, borrow and don't give it back to you. So the thing is, if you really, really love your brother, you will make sure that you go talk to him in love and restore him. And if you had to forgive that debt, you know, I prefer to lose it and not for him to lose his life. Because life means nothing. Material thing, you always can get some more. Said, rise, get together, have a hearing with one another. Now, it doesn't say here yet, bring the deacon yet. You go. You don't make a scene. You don't make a show. This is you and him. Take and say, listen, this happened. You offended me, or you said you borrow and you didn't pay, or you this or that and the other. But I'm here because I love you and I care for you. And you, if you made a mistake, I'd like to help you. And the first thing I want to do first is to pray. It says, that's what the scripture says. When we make a mistake, let's go before God. See? Not go to your vecino, to your neighbor, or not go to your friends and lay it all out. This is what they did to me in church. Or you sure don't love me. Because if you love me, you will cover it up and make it right and try to help me. When we make a mistake, let's go before God. First and most, not to your friend, not to your wife. Don't tell anybody about it. What they did to you, go and pray and see what God wants you to do. You already know what God wants you to do. But we leave that for the end, see? After we talk to everybody, then we become a chisme, you know? A mitoteo, you know? But you know what happened, yeah? So, you're just pushing things, people out. You're pushing yourself. I know. You're saying, but that should not happen in church and people should not be that way. I don't care what excuse you can justify anything. It happens. It's what I'm talking about. And we are now here trying to learn how to take care of these things so they become a burden to you. We want to unburden the person so that not become a burden to nobody else later on. If we help them, right? Amen. Let's go before God, before you can pray for the person, we go to go before the person that we hurt. Okay? So that means there has to be some apologies made. There has to be something, you know, that has to be done before you go to God. Because you cannot hurt somebody. Now we jump to the other side of the coin. You cannot hurt somebody and then ask God for forgiveness. That don't work that way. You don't go to God first. You make things right, then you ask God for forgiveness. After, that's what Brother Brown says, I'm going to tell you what happened to me, but I've already been forgiven. Because he called the government people, he apologized for what he did. Listen, we don't want to just come to church just to have church. Right. We come to church, this is a house of correction. Yeah. And we want to be corrected. Because that's the idea. And if you are a Christian, full of the Holy Ghost, you want to be corrected. Because when the life ends, I don't care, we have to cross that river, you don't want nothing in between you and God. Nothing. We are close. I don't know how close we are, but we need to start making ready. And I'm telling you simple stuff. I'm not telling you big, high, you know. This is simple things that happens every day. But that's what keeps us strong. having our victory. Amen? Now, he says, I just had to do that, see? So he's not talking something that he had not himself experienced. He made mistakes too. I made mistakes. We made mistakes. I know that I did wrong. Okay? I lied. Caused my wife to lie. I believe I have told you about it here at church. It was a few days, not long ago. It's been about 6 weeks ago. So see how long it took for him to God bring him to that point? 6 weeks. Now, I'm not going to ask you how long you go because I don't know and I don't care. But I have done that. Sometimes we just think we're okay and we justify our actions and we come to church and, you know, and our prayers don't even go over the roof or to the roof of the church, even the roof of your mouth to God. The stakes talking there. Amen. So I just had to do that. And I know that I did wrong. I lied. Caused my wife to lie. I believe I have told you about it. Here at the church, I was a few days. Not long ago, I've been about 6 weeks. The attorney had, and he's going to repeat the same thing, had me so tore up over this investigation. That's one of the things. Satan would like to, you know, use and take advantage of the feelings. You have to be careful how you feel about things. In fact, shunt your feelings and just get to pray. Shun those feelings and look at the word of God, what he wants you to do. Not at your feelings. Your feelings are not going to be right. We don't walk by feelings. See? But Satan will use and take advantage if you're feeling that way like he was. He says, in this investigation, till I hardly knew where I was at. I had just went home from the office to eat dinner and the private phone number ran and Mira went to answer the phone. She put her hands over it. Said it is those attorneys, them attorneys. I said, I couldn't stand another evening. Now I'm reading you another version because it has more to it. I couldn't stand another evening. My head felt like it was drawing off. I am losing my mind, just pulling me this way and that way and this way. And I said, I cannot stand it. Satan will do that. Something do something to you. Something happened at work. Something happened at school. And Satan take advantage and start pulling you, you know, in your mind, in your thought, you know. So that's why he said he made a mistake. Why? Because Satan took an advantage of the way he was feeling. He was worried and he was tore by this condition that he was trying to tell them how it happens. He wasn't trying to not to pay the taxes. But they made the checks to him. The donation, he put it, even though he put it in the evangelistic, in the mission fund, still was in his name. And he was trying to explain them that, but, you know, government, I want my money. That's all they care about. They don't care about nothing else. So, when I came back, Mira is very conscious of these things. She met me at the door, half crying. She said, Bill, what was that the right thing to do? See, she's feel condemned. You know how you are. I know how I am. I said, sure. I wasn't in here right then. Mm-hmm. I knew God has condemned me for it. I said, I wasn't in here right then. Said, but you was in here when the call was made. So, husband, don't shoot the messenger. Don't shoot your wife because they want to keep you sanctified. You know? Sometimes, you know, they tell you the truth. Like my wife tell me, you are going over the sleeping. I said, and then I tried to, leave me alone. I'm the one driving. When you drive, you do whatever you want. No, see? My wife, God, you know, it keep you honest. Wife keep herself honest. You know, when we kind of get assaulted and high and muddy, they take a pin and it got the hot air, you know. Actually, my wife would tell me the truth. I ask you something about anything. You say, oh, that was good, brother. That's perfect. I like it. And I go to my wife this morning. She said, you know, I kind of got lost there. And when you went here and you went there, you lost me. I said, good. See, you wouldn't tell me that. But I'm glad that my wife told me the truth. It is not because you don't want to lie to me, but, you know. And I said, okay, maybe let me go over this because what happened that I'm trying to explain. And that's what happened. You're trying to explain too much. So, and she do that way. I always bounce everything, my wife. And I know dogs do with Jennifer. Because they're going to tell us the truth. See, we don't want to offend the pastor. So, it was great, pastor. We don't want to, after he worked so hard and studied so hard, you know. I understand. It's not because you want to do that. But anyway, he says, I knew God has condemned me for it. I said, I wasn't in here when I said that. And she said, well, when you made the call, it was when they made the call. That afternoon, I went to pray for a sick baby. And before I left the house, the phone rang again. And the little Joseph ran over and took a hole to the phone. I said, Daddy, you want me to tell you that you're not here? See, the problem is that you don't understand, but, you know, you lie and you don't know who's watching you. Now you got your wife lying. Now you got your children learning the wrong things in the wrong way. So this just ripples, you know. Be careful, because everybody's watching.
That's right.
See? And then now you got a little kid believing that it's okay. You know? It's just a little kid. What do he know? He says, do you want me to tell them you're not here? You see how sin corrupt? What a family that wouldn't finally be. 1 John 5 chapter, 5th chapter, and the 20th verse says, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence in God. But our hearts condemn us, how can we have confidence in God? But if our hearts condemn us, how can we have confidence in God? We know as long as we got sin, that's not confessed, he will never hear us. Amen. Now, Brother Branham said, well, let me finish it. That's strong, but it is easy. The church needs these things. So I got the right to tell you this because the church needs these things. It's okay to have, you know, the hallelujahs and glory to God services, but we need to hear these things as well.
Amen.
Then I started to pray for this baby, and when I started to lay my hands on it, the Lord rebuked me. You told a lie. You ain't fit to pray for that baby. I turned away from the man. I said, sir, you just wait here. I have got to do something. I have to make something right. He says, I called up the attorney and went down to the office, called him, and I said, look, sir, I told you a lie. I had my wife to lie. She said I wasn't in there, and I ran out behind the house. And I confessed, said, and told him about it. I woke up, and I put his hand on my shoulder. He said, Brother Branham, I have always had confidence in you. You know, sometimes you think you're going to lose confidence. People are not going to look at you the way. But if you are honest, people will respect you. People will respect you more if you're honest than if you lie. They won't have confidence in you. But if you make a mistake, we made mistakes. The thing is to just ask for forgiveness. And people will respect that. Woke up and put my hands in my shoulder and said, Brother Branham, I have always had confidence in you, but I got more than ever now. So when a man makes a mistake, let's restore him. Because now he's better than he was. Because now he knows a little bit more. See? So, well, I got more than ever now. A man, he says, that's willing to make the right wrong. Okay? He's wrong. I told him, I said, I started to pray for a baby, and then the Lord would just condemn me in my heart because I know that I had done wrong. Then, the next day, wife said, where are you going? I said, to my cave. And I went up to my cave, and above Charleston, where I've been going for a year, I got in there, and I prayed all day. Oh, God, don't never let me do a thing like that again. That is the purpose. For you to go to your brother, pray first. Go to your brother because you don't want him to do that again. If we don't correct the situation, if we don't point, maybe he thinks he's okay in doing what he's doing. But we want to help them, tell them, this is what you did, this is what it cost, and I love you so much, I don't want you to do it again. See? But if we don't go and we get mad and upset, he continue doing it because he thinks it's okay. Sometimes we have to point things to, my wife do it all the time. She's not here. Matter of fact, I can talk about her. She's not here. No, you're laughing, but I want you to take a minute and pray for my wife. She's not here because one of her sisters had symptoms of a stroke this afternoon. As I was going home, I was almost home, it was about 1:30, 2 o'clock. They called her. They were taking her to the hospital. So I had to take her to the hospital. I left her there. So far, they're checking on her, and she's still aware, and she's still okay. So I gotta try to find out what happened. So just pray for her sister, Teresa, we call her. So there's four sisters, and my wife is the third one. So this is the first one, the oldest one. So pray for her when you have some time tonight or tomorrow. My wife knows all about it. She's been through four strokes, and God has delivered her from four strokes. So if she can help somebody, it's her. Because she has gone through it. She has experienced the power of God in her life. Amen. So, anyway, back to my wife. You see, where are you going? I said, to my cave. And I went up to my cave, and I bought Charleston, where I've been going for years, and I prayed all day. I got done, never let me do that thing like that again. So the reason of all things is to correct, so people will not do it again. But part of the correction is to go to the person, pray first, go to the person, not to somebody else, and try to help them to see what happened and pray with them so God can clear everything out. But not go and tell everybody, you know, advertise it. Do that again. You forgive me, Lord, for when I start to put my hands on that sick people to pray, then I was condemned. So let's say you have a working church. You are Sunday school or a musician or a deacon or whatever. Well, if you have that situation, God is not going to bless. You know? Why? Because God cannot use that office until that office is straight out. See? Just everything kind of stops. Guys, we don't want God to stop working on us. But any little thing, you know, it stops until we make things right. Then we can continue progressing towards our goal, you know. And that is to be like Him. He says that there's a big rock laying out there, and I got on that rock, and I was looking up towards the east. With my hands up, praising the Lord, and I was just so quiet in there. But remember, all this happened after He made things right. You cannot do this before you go and make things right with the poor people. And I said, Lord, if you will just one time pass by Moses, he said, it was there when you had him in the cleft of the rock, and I looked like the back part of a man. See, he wants a sign that he was forgiven, that's all. See? I said, could you do it again, Lord? Let me know I am forgiven. He wanted to make sure that he's forgiven. There's nothing wrong with that. So, I am not very strong mentally because I have no education. I am trying to serve you. You know my heart, and I ought not to have done that. I didn't mean to do that. See? Willingly, he didn't mean to do that. I was just explore the moment, his condition emotionally and physically, that made him do that. But still, it was done. So now we have to correct. My head just felt like it was coming off. I was so nervous, and I done it in a crash of a moment where Satan caught me. See? Be careful. If somebody do something to you, don't get all exasperated, and don't get all bent out of shape, because Satan can take care of that. The best thing is just to calm down and get to pray. And God, I need some help. You know? What should I do now? The mistake is done, but what can I do? See, we need to right away lean on him, rest on him completely. My head just felt like coming off. So I was so nervous and done it. Catch of a moment when Satan caught me. I said, if you forgive me, let me see you then, Lord. God, being my judge, just right over my side, a little place in the bushes begin to whirl like a wind, and it come right along the side of the cave where I was at and went down through the woods. Oh, brother, a peace that passes all understanding swept over me. And I cried, I wept, I shouted, I know my sins were forgiven. Now, it's time to have church. It's time to have church. So, see, I was this unified with God because the Holy Ghost would take a flight until, you know, it's not connected no more. There's no relationship. I'm going until. We are not united anymore. And I don't want to have that feeling. I want him to always be with me. Say, I will not forsake you. I will not leave you. But when we do things like that, that's what happened. Everything completely stopped. And you cannot go any further. You cannot progress until things are made right. Well, you know, David, you remember David he committed a crime, even though he used somebody else, not directly, sent somebody else to kill somebody else, put him in the front so he can get killed, committed adultery and blah, blah, blah. You know the whole thing. That was the end until he made things right. God did not spoke to him. He went to church every day. He did what he did best, and he just justified the whole thing, and he just went on every day doing the same thing, coming to church and praying, but God was not listening. Then, seeing God, he wasn't listening neither. He was justifying all his action. He had to send somebody else. That's when it gets worse. I always said to me, it is okay, you know, if you can, you know, respond to the Holy Ghost and make things right. But when you don't, God will send somebody else. And when God sends somebody else, it's trouble. Because you know, but when somebody comes to, if God sends somebody with a word to you, you know that that's true. And when the facts are correct, and nobody could know that but you, because you are keeping in a secret. But when God revealed the secret to somebody else, and it comes to you, and you did this, and he sent the prophet, said you did this, 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 and he gave him a little illustration. You know, a man had one lamb, and you have and the other one has so many, and he had a feast, so he went and took this one. And what did David say right away? Wow, let's get that man, let's kill him. Well, he said, that man is you. So when we go too far, and we don't acknowledge anymore the Holy Spirit and God, God will send, if we are Christian, God will send somebody. Sometimes we pray, and we pray, you know, that God, you know, if you're praying for a person in any situation, God might send you. But do never go to a person with a concern that person, if he don't do things right, it's gonna get worse. Concerns don't work. Concern is all emotions. Concern is that you care about the people, but concerns are not enough. But when you pray for that person that the Lord might send somebody to help them, because you can't unless God send you. But if you can say, well, Lord, you send somebody else, because I don't want to see him in that condition. I want him to get right. I don't want him to be lost. So what happened is he might send somebody else, not you, to talk to that person. Oh, he might send you. But if he give you, that said the Lord, then you know. They will know. And that's what Brother Brian is talking about. He said, I could have deliverance for that baby. Now, 74. And then the very next day, there was a man from Chicago who is a great man, Catholic, just converted. The valve in his heart was swelled up like an inflated inner tube, and they had been trying to cut them out for a long time, was going to, and he wouldn't let them. Finally, he found an interview. Then that interview, them interviews, we said, we stay right with it till we find out what was wrong. Another way, yeah. We just trying to ask the question, the right question, trying to find out, you know, what happened. Because Brother Brandon didn't know what he was doing, he wanted to find out what caused that. When you're sick, something causes be sick. So what he's trying to investigate, you know, what did you do? What did you, trying to find out if it's not a spirit or something that you did and you welcome a spirit or sickness. But that's why you had to have these interviews, because he needed to find out exactly. He needed to cut the spirit and figure out what's going on in that person's life. That was his gift, anyway. Then they stay right until we find out what was wrong, see? And the man had no more than come in till the Holy Spirit went back down through his life and called out something he had done when he was in the an altar boy in the Catholic Church. See, God showed Brother Branham, you know, a secret that is long time in the man's heart. But he was sick. He said, that is the truth. That's the honest truth. Say, do you mean that was against me? I said, that's the only shadow that I can see in your life. Well, you know what the problem is? That we don't have a prophet in the land. So we come through that door, and, you know, we're not afraid to come to church. But if a prophet was in this place, like that prophet, I mean, even you won't call. In fact, he said, make sure you make everything right before you come through those doors. Because if you still don't have it under the blood, God will show it to me. But see, today we live in a life kind of lucid because we don't have someone, you know, like that. But we have the Holy Spirit. And if you have the Holy Spirit, that is the one that will point to you the things that are wrong. I'm preaching, but God is talking to somebody. I don't know. But that is the Holy Spirit, that's not me. So we don't need a prophet. What we need to do is just listen to the voice of God. If you feel condemned, you know something is not right. Don't justify yourself. Just say, God, what is it? What I did wrong? We don't need a prophet in the land to tell us. That's why God has to take him. Because if he wouldn't take him, we will be, you know, oh, we have to talk to the prophet. We have to talk. We never grow. Because you're looking for somebody to take you by the hand and guide you. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. See, the doctor said, well, we will check that old ticker again, and when he looked into it, he said, you don't need any operation. You know, this is not for yesterday. This can happen today. Let's not leave this thing way out there. If we do the same things, it will happen. God will answer our prayers if we take care of our little business sometime. 77, if our heart condemns us, we want complete deliverance. We don't want nothing. And even when we come to church, we don't want nothing between us and God. We don't want to be halfway church. We want to be a real church or no church at all. Period. That don't leave no room for the middle. Either all in, all out. We want to be a real Christian and no Christian at all. We want total deliverance from all our habits, our sins, our evil thinking, from evil doing, from our negligence. Oh my, he covers everything. Even negligence. I forgot. Well, you're so busy with something else. You promised that you was going to pick up the kid and the kid's still waiting at school because we got so busy. Negligence. You know? Whatever we have done, we want total deliverance. That when people come into this church to be prayed for, there will be just this little group, maybe, not over 100 or 200. We are not a big group anyway, sitting here, but they will be completely in the hands of God. That's what I want. If that's what you want, I mean, what else it is to come to church for? I don't want people to come to church to hear me preaching. I'm not a preacher. And we don't want you to come to enjoy the music. That's good too, enjoy the music. But we got one reason and one reason to come to church. He said, to be prayed for, there will be just a little group, he said, but they will be completely in the hands of God, and that's what I want to be. The only thing that can separate you from that is negligence, error, mistakes, something that we don't make right. He said, God wants somebody that he can hold in his hands. Somebody that he can say, I got confidence in, I can send this, my sick servant, to the Branham Tabernacle at Jeffersonville, and that group of people are in one accord, Something had to happen, will happen. You know, I have a brother that, in law, he has a schizophrenia. That's the one that you guys pray, he's better now, back into the meds, and finally, he went through a lot of things. Anyway, we ask you for prayer, he's doing better now. But the point is, I believe in prayer. I believe that in the power of God. I believe that God can answer prayers. Amen. So I was in the tabernacle there in Brother Green at the time. He was alive. Now, this is not something against Brother Green and nothing. One day, they brought up someone, you know, that it was a person that will pray for the sick and they will get better. And that night, they had a special meeting. And brother said, bring anybody that has a need, you know, sick people, bring them to the church. I took my brother-in-law, and he said, I want to. He don't want to have those spirits on him, schizophrenia and delusions and all the, you know, nervousness that comes with it and anxieties. And I know that's a spirit anyway. So I dragged him to church that night, and it was full. And when they finish, I'm just waiting for them to finish so we can call the prayer line and let's get him in there. So finally they said, who wants it? So I said, let's go. And I took my brother-in-law and I took him all the way and I had them to pray for him. You know, you said he didn't get well. No, I didn't say that he didn't get well, because I believe that God is a God. He's a miracles and God of healing. And he was praying. Today he's better than he was then. It's all out? Not yet. But I'm just telling you this because that's the kind of church that we need to have. I'm trying to invite another lady, another woman that my wife is a friend of my wife. She's not going to church. She's having anxiety, panic attacks. She's having all these things, you know, that accompany this panic and anxiety. And she gets sick and she gets nervous and she gets scared. The whole thing. And I testify to her what God did for me. So I invited her to come to church because I believe that we can pray. There's power in this church. There's power in the prayer of God. And I think God answered your prayers. If not, we're wasting our time. But we have to be right because we want that to happen, not just here and there. Not all the time we come to church. She came to church. I said, I pick you Sunday. He said, no, I would drive that way. So she called me Sunday. She said, I'm not going. I had an episode last night, and I couldn't sleep. And I got a rough, stomach is loose. And I said, okay, you know, no pressure, you know. So to this day, I call her back, and she hasn't wanted to come to church. Well, I don't blame her. That's the spirit of God. I mean, that's the spirit of the devil. Satan is trying to keep her from her deliverance. And I just pray for her. Help me pray for her. Her name is Virginia. I know her for years. We know her family. She went through a divorce, and that was enough trauma. And his son was taken away, and it's a big mess. And that has created that situation, because that's what Brother Brown said. Let's talk a little bit and see what happened. But that's what happened to her in the background. And that had created trouble for her physically, you know, mentally and physically. So, because she wasn't that way until that happened. So anyway, I want her to get well. That's my desire. I want her to experience the power. I want her to experience deliverance because I have experienced it. So I want it for everybody else. Why not? But I had to be in the right, you know, mental idea, you know, in the right place, like Brother Branham, that nothing condemns me when we bring anybody to be prayed for. Amen. 78, we look what he does for us in the condition that we were in. What would he do if we were on one heart, on one accord? That means nothing in between me and Brother Carbo, nothing in between you, sister, nothing. We need to make things right. We don't want nothing. I don't care how small you think it is. I don't care how insignificant you think it is and you don't want to deal with it. We want to see the power of God, the same yesterday, today, and forever in this church. It is time. We are coming to it. It is time. And we said, well, we want the spoken word. Well, let's get our life straight then. Then he will do the rest. Amen? The only way we can do that is unify our hearts together with brotherly love. Obey the officers of the church, the pastor, and the pastor obey God. Then God worked through the pastor, through the board, down into the church, and all together are one unit in the kingdom of God. That's what we need to get together. In one mind and in one accord when we come to church. And nothing that will hinder that. If it is, let's get rid of it. I want to see the power of God in the church. He promised that that will happen. But what's holding the whole thing is us. We are a little petty, any little stuff that we go through. And some stuff are not even so insignificant. Then God worked through the pastor, okay. Then God will hear when we have a unified group. Let nothing bother you, see? Don't be dismayed at anything. A few scriptures here, and 1 John 3:20, it says, "For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and know all things." Amen. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. And the only way you know that if your heart will condemn you is if you have the Holy Ghost. Because that is the one that guides, leads us, shows us things to come. So if we profess that we have the Holy Ghost and we are doing things and we're not making it right, then I wonder. Either two things. You don't have the Holy Ghost that you say you have, or you have it, but you're grieving the Holy Ghost. I don't want to be in none of those situations. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence towards God. Then we can go and pray. Why? Because we know we have confidence that God will answer our prayers. Because there's nothing hindering our prayers. Amen. And whosoever we ask, we will receive in him. Because we keep his commandments. See, we are obedient to the word of God. And do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment that we should believe on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And love what? One another. And he gave us commandments. So, love. And I'll finish. If we love one another, we love our brothers and we love our sister, we want to see him right. We don't want to hold anything over their heads. We don't want to, you know, the scary thing is that you know that someone has done something and you're holding that over their head because you're not going to him and make it right. What happened if that person died and did not make that right? What do you think is going to happen? But who had the power to get rid of that? See, don't wait. If your heart tells you something, the Holy Spirit, do it right and right away. Because you don't know if you have another minute, another day, as soon as you walk out, you don't know. And you don't want to be the one that, you know, gonna keep that person from, you know, getting rid of that thing. So, if we know, I don't care if it's one person, two person, three persons, that somebody had wrong, they all three need to get together and say, we love you, brother. Come on, let's talk. We don't want to harm you. We don't want to ask you anything. We don't need to do it. You don't have to give up. We just want to talk. We want to forgive you so God will clean your slate and God can bless you because we love you. We want you to be blessed and you will not, don't do it again. That's all. That's why Jesus, when he healed some of them, he says, go and don't what? Don't sin again. But he forget that so they can be in good standing again with God. But don't do it again. James 5:16, confess your fault to one another. That fault means transgressions or trespasses. Now, it don't say here, confess your sin to one another. You only confess your sins to God. Fault. If somebody did something, you know, then we need to confess it. We need to make it right. It's all the same. So, and pray one for another that you may be healed. So, but we need to confess our faults. If we have done something wrong to somebody, we need to confess that, like Brother Branham did, before we do anything else. The effectual fervent prayer for the righteous one availeth much after we had done things right. Then God will do the rest. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. You know, we made a mistake. Brother Branham made a mistake. He was overtaken. Satan got him. Good. You which are spiritual now. We are spiritual now. Restore. You know, don't let him go in the wrong ways of error. Restore him. As soon as you can, restore. Why wait? We don't know. Said, restore. If a man is overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Yeah. So, let's help others in case, you know, later on we need help. Because if we don't help, nobody's going to help us anyway, is what he's saying. Sometimes, people that need help don't come to church. That's the wrong thing to do. This is what help is at. Right. But you guys got that you believe you be spiritual. You got to show that to people that are in situations. They are making mistakes maybe. They are overtaken with. But you are the one that need to restore. You are the one that need to bring them. You are the one that need to talk to them, not to stay away from them. It is important that we, you know, that the Bible said, prefer your brother first. Other besides yourself. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Amen. So, love one another. Like the Lord loved us and he forgave us. Amen. So we can have communion and fellowship with him. If we want to have communion and fellowship with one another, it should not be nothing in between. We need to take care of these things now. And I promise you, and the Bible promised you, that the same God yesterday, today, and forever will be doing the same thing here in this little group. Amen. Don't come to church every time and think that everything is okay because it's not happening to you. Be concerned about your brother. That's what the Bible said. We need to be concerned about if they're going through something, talk to your brother. You just come to church and just leave church and, oh, well, I don't know what's happening in church. Well, that's good. Then you won't pray because you don't know what's going on. The thing is to help each other. That's why we come to church, not just for ourselves, but we can serve each other and help each other. Because sometimes you're going to need help, and they will help you too. You know, it is not that we want to find out what are you doing and why you don't come to church. That's just not what it is. It's not good. We want to know what you know, your deal is, you know, so we can rebuke. No, we do it with love. And we love you and we want to see your church and can I help you? Everything okay? It's not that I'm trying to, you know, check to see what you're doing. It's nothing like way. People will know if that is the truth. If we approach them with love and meekness. Amen. Stand to your feet. Rise and shine. So, trespasses, offenses, you know, sins, iniquity, all this stuff is what holds the church back. And Jesus says in their prayer, if you don't forgive other, I will not forgive you. So we need to learn how to make things right. Because we can come to church and we think we are being blessed. But it's not the case. You can be blessed physically, but it's more than just physically. Spiritually, mentally. Amen. But that was my part. And now I can go in peace. And you worry about it. No. No. Just things that, this is what we call, you know, little things that we have to take care in the church. I wish I didn't bring the preaching led brother because I don't like to get ahead of the pastor. The pastor should be the one. And I'm not saying he's not doing it. Don't go that way now. I'm just saying, I prefer not to do it anyway. I prefer for you to get mad at somebody else than at me. No. I'm just a messenger. Amen. Amen. So, here, what are we singing? Huh?
Pleasing.
Oh, pleasing. See? Your wife. Keep you something. Get over here.